What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me at the roundtable, I welcome Peter Render. Peter is a senior at Sale High School. He's into film and music production and entertainment. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Tyler Hoffbauer. He also is from Sale. He is in the 12th grade. He's into video games and reading.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay. And Stephen Crothers. Stephen, another student from Sale. We're glad to have the Sale contingency. He's into guitar, paintball, science.
Thank you. I think it's awesome that I'm allowed to be here.
Yeah. Well, welcome to 411 Teen. Look forward to talking with you. Stress is a part of our life that we all experience, some more than others. Stress refers to life's daily changes and pressures, the daily hassles. Get to school, find a parking place, call parents, go to work, dental appointment, get your homework done. Stressors are the actual circumstances or events that threaten or tax us. These stressors can be really physically and mentally demanding. There are many stressors that come from school and being a student. Students struggle with academic demands, scheduling issues, roommates, social issues, parental support, parental demands, balancing work and school, dealing with the dynamics of young relationships, and the list goes on. So this hour, I want to hear from you about stress. When I say stress, what comes to mind when I say stress? Stephen, I'm looking at you, so you're in the hot seat.
All right. Well, every time I feel stress, I feel like it's a constriction. Like, I feel like the inside of me is really constricting. I can't really move much.
Okay, so it sounds like you're talking about feeling kind of tight.
Right.
And rigid, maybe.
Right, like I'm kind of being sucked together from the inside.
Okay, all right. So that's the basic symptom that you have. Do you have anything else that you may experience? Any problems sleeping, eating, energy level, anything like that?
Well, how I deal with stress is that I normally eat and then I work out a lot, so
okay.
Physical exercise helps a lot.
Well, we're going to come back to that because those are some pointers as to how we deal with it. Peter and Tyler, again, when you heard we're going to talk about stress, what came to mind? What are the kinds of things that are conjured up with the word stress? Whomever, Peter?
Stress covers a lot of things. There's different levels of stress, definitely. There's a general view of stress, how everybody would think it's like to be in a situation that would cause stress. Then there's the personal level for everybody of stress. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's stress can build up over a certain amount of time to where it just becomes a huge part of your life and you have to deal with it. And it's just over encumbering sometimes where you have to find ways to get rid of each section of stress and you have to address each section differently. And after a while, it all builds up and it's just hard to deal with sometimes. Mm-hmm. You just got to find different ways each time you come in contact with stress.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that you may have stress just going on, but you tend to kind of not really address it. And then it's a cumulative effect and you have all the stress and it's about to explode and you have to deal with it.
Exactly. Well,
those are some good points and we're going to come back to them and look at them. And Tyler.
What I think of mostly is, like, parents and school, things that happen at home, my parents getting upset at me, those sorts of things. And the way I deal with stress for the most part is just sort of getting away, closing my door, Okay. Getting on a video game, doing something that I like for a period of time, but a problem that usually comes from that is procrastination, which causes more stress.
So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Well, I have to give a shout out to Mae Maddox, one of your classmates, mm-hmm. because she is the reason, unfortunately, she wasn't able to be here, but she's the reason we're doing this particular program, because she was just talking about the pressure and the stress that she was feeling. So a special shout out to her. Now, when we talk about stress, what I want you to focus on, and I think you started it, Stephen, is to look at the physiological responses that you may have. Because you were saying that your body felt tight.
Okay. Right.
Sometimes people's jaws tighten. But I want you all to share the physiological changes that make you aware that you are experiencing stress or extreme pressure, you know, the same kinds of things. What happens to you physiologically? Because sometimes people who are under a lot of stress, they may eat more, or if they're smokers, they may smoke more, or they may not be able to sleep. Their sleep is interrupted. So for each one of you, when you are under stress, what happens?
The managing time for everything definitely comes in order then, because you have all the necessities you have to do to get through your day,
mm-hmm.
and you have things you want to do that make you feel good,
mm-hmm.
and things you do for pleasure, and then you go to school and you get all these assignments for every single class. They're all different and they require different things, and all that builds up, and when you get home, you have to deal with those things, and you have to deal with your other things that are at home, and then more things may come up beside that, and it just feels heavy.
Okay, so you just have a kind of heavy burden feeling. Do you find that your appetite or your sleep or your energy level or any of those kinds of things are affected by the stress?
Definitely. Okay. Once all those things come into play, I find it hard to fit in the time where I can get to bed on time and
mm-hmm.
Wake up at a decent time to allow myself to have the time to get ready for school properly. And
so your sleep is affected.
My sleep is definitely affected,
okay.
based on assignments and other work and things. If you have to do that
mm-hmm.
to fit into your schedule as well.
Okay. All right. I'll just go around the table.
All right. Well, on top of feeling this constricted and
mm-hmm.
tight, I feel like I can't really say what I want to say. Like I stutter, and
mm-hmm.
And over time I just don't really want to do anything. Like stress turns into depression, and I just everything that makes me happy, it's just I don't really want to do it anymore.
There's no more joy in any of
right.
those things that had joy in them previously.
Right.
Okay. Tyler.
Well, for the most part, it's a situation that I don't really know how to deal with. Say I'm talking to somebody I haven't talked to before.
Mm-hmm.
And since I don't know them very well, I don't know very well how to talk to them or any of that. So I start to stutter, or I repeat myself in some aspects. And another thing is just when I don't know how to deal with things, if it's with my parents, for the most part, even, I tend to get angry easier. Things that normally wouldn't faze me so much, because they're yelling and they're upset or whatever, I start to get upset. Mm-hmm. And the way I sometimes deal with those situations, I feel is a bit more irrational than when I'm not stressed, as sometimes now, even nowadays, I've hung up on my mom because she was getting me really stressed, and I just sort of feel this sort of depressing feeling, it's sort of like what Stephen said.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that to ruin my day or anything. And when it's in the home, I tend to just sort of try to walk away from it, But, of course, you can't really walk away from your problems.
No. Maybe you can walk away for a few minutes, but they're still there. Yeah, so I know exactly. As we think about stress and we look at the various situations in our own environment, are there particular types of situations that you find are stressful? I mean, for example, some people may get really uptight when they have to do a presentation, or maybe they have to speak in front of a large group. Can you think of situations that you know you are have a little angst about and therefore may in turn lead to stress?
I could speak of one. Whenever I give a presentation in general, like, what happens is I get up there and the first thing that happens is the back of my throat starts to go dry. Another thing that's interesting to me is my ears tend to warm up a bit. Just like these different symptoms that I wouldn't really care for at that moment. And it's not like I'm afraid. Well, I don't mentally think of it anyways, that I'm afraid to speak in front of them, but it's just a physiological response that happens whenever I get up there.
Okay. Thanks for sharing those, because all of us, what people can't see us because we're here on the radio, but when you were saying those things, you noticed we all were kind of smiling like, yep, we know what you mean. Stephen.
Well, like, in situations where, like, one speaking, like Tyler said, you just, like, or before taking a test, your mind just kind of stops. Like, you study for the test, and then when you get there, you just clam up, and you're like, what do I do now?
And so that's a situation that creates stress,
right.
Taking tests.
And, like, in psychology, when you learn something, if you're relaxed when you learn something, in order to recall it, you have to be relaxed when you want to remember it. So I just had to try to relax myself again.
Okay, and we'll talk about maybe some of the relaxation techniques that you all have used and have found to be successful. Peter.
Well, I have a different sort of situation that causes stress more recently for me anyways, and it's the fact that I have to get to school with a car that is... It's an older car, so...
It's cool.
Oh, yeah, thank you. There's lots of problems with having an older car, and they are... You can't call for them. You don't know when they're going to happen. They're really random. And it's hard when you have a lot of people in your household, too, that need to also get to places at a certain time. So relying on them also puts, like, a burden on your heart where you're just like, oh, I don't want to make them do this, but I need to get to school, and I need them to get there on time. And so I have to rely on asking them for rides or sorting out getting home from school if I do get a ride to school. And that forms a lot of stress for me.
I can see how that might be. Yeah.
Speaking of driving and all that sort of stuff, another form of stress that I've been having has to do with driving. Like, I have a learner's permit. My mom wants me to get a driver's license.
Let me ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment, Tyler. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this edition of 411 Teen is looking at stress. I was talking with Tyler Hoffbauer right before we went off, and he was talking about stress and driving. So, Tyler, I want to continue with you. You know, you were just saying that driving is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, I have a learner's permit right now, which I got through my driver's ed class, and my parents want me to get a driver's license so mm-hmm. that I can drive them around places and they don't have to drive as much. And for me, driving, like, I'm fine up until the point where I panic. And my panic is when I don't know what to do necessarily, or I feel like I did something I shouldn't have. In fact, one time my mom was having me drive home from church, and I ended up, like, I went to go into our driveway, and I almost crashed into our mailbox. I panicked, accidentally slipped it back in the drive, and I hit our mailbox.
Oh. Well, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. Yeah. But we all can relate to those kinds of things. Okay. Oh, wow. And you brought something up, Tyler, that I think we might want to explore, and that is, do you find that your parents are sensitive to the stressful demands of your daily lives? I mean, do they have an appreciation for what you find is stressful? I mean, for example, sometimes today parents might say, stress? Kids don't know what stress is. And you all are smiling again. They don't know what stress is. You know, all they got to do is groove and cruise through life. But do you find that your parents are sensitive to the stressors that you may experience?
Definitely.
Not so much for me. In my case, it's more of the, you don't know stress. We work jobs. We come home. Our work is more stressful than you going through school and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, on that note, my mom cleans houses and my dad's the boss of Say Taxi. And I know that they do a lot of work. And recently my dad's been having me do a little bit of work also. And it's stressful too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I feel that a lot of parents, they've gotten up to nowadays and they're the age they are now. They can't remember so much maybe the years when they were teenagers and when they had stress going through this, or at least the extent to which that was.
Yeah, it's easy to forget, you know, when you move on beyond that. Okay. Did you know that stress can be positive and negative? It's that positive stress that allows us to meet a challenge, to satisfy a need, or mastery. Distress, however, is negative stress, which disrupts our lives, causing depression, and you all have talked about this, poor health, and sometimes even death, okay? As we look at stress, do you find that your friends or those around you pick up that you are stressful? I mean, will they say, like, oh, Peter, you seem kind of bummed out. Something going on? Are people just oblivious and aren't aware at all that you're going through stress?
Well, for me, like, ever since about fifth grade, no one has been able to really tell whether I'm sad or angry. Like, I could be completely mad at someone, they'll think I'm just fine.
Oh, really?
I've learned to mask my emotions a lot.
Okay. All right.
Well, for me, it's not really the people thinking opinions about me. I try and put off a side of me that's happy and pleasing around other people, when inside they can't see inside me,
right,
obviously.
Right.
But I may feel differently inside than I may show how I'm looking. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think about situations where sometimes we might have some changes in our behavior that we are unaware of. Maybe we become a little bit more irritable, okay? Difficult to be around, cantankerous, oppositional. And that kind of behavior may in turn make parents or friends say, hey, Peter, you know, they may not know what's going on, but it comes out, whether we want it to or not, it comes out one way or another. Some people aren't tuned to it, but that's what I was asking. That's basically what I meant. As we look at stress, and some of you have shared some of the things you do to handle stress, but let's look at how we counteract the stress. How do you handle stress, Tyler? You know you're stressed out. You know you're going through changes. You got the pressures of your family. What do you do?
Well, most of the time what I end up doing is I go into my room and I shut the door. I play video games. I do whatever it is that makes me happy. And I have a bad sense of time as well, so it tends to get away from me. That becomes procrastination. Mm-hmm. And another way I deal with stress is, well, it's a way that I handle stress in the outside world more, because like I tend to bottle it up a bit more. I don't mm-hmm. really tell people about it. I just sort of hold it in. And it's not... And people don't really tend to seem to notice, at least. Like, they seem to be pretty much oblivious as long as I don't put off any sorts of signs. Like, if I were on the phone with my mom, for example, and she were yelling at me for some reason or another, and I think that would be a lot more obvious signs of stress than if I were just in an everyday situation mm-hmm. Containing something that happened this morning or mm-hmm. earlier this month even.
Okay.
Well, as I explained earlier, I may eat and then work out a lot. And just like the heavy breathing and stuff kind of gets you, it puts something else in your mind. Just thinking about that and talking to friends definitely puts it away. But honestly, what I believe what really helps me the most is being able to, like, talk to God about my problems.
Okay. All right. And we'll come back to that, because I was going to ask you about, you know, the role of religion or spirituality or what helps you, you know, work best with the stress you may be experiencing. So you're saying that you find that your religion or talking to God helps?
Right. Like, if it was like, I believe a lot of my problems, like, only really God can help me with.
Mm-hmm. And you find that helps you yeah. relieve the stress?
Right.
Okay. All right. Peter.
For me, to deal with stress, it depends what the stress is, really, but mm-hmm. with school, I have a ton of assignments that are due at the end of the weekend. I don't leave it to the last minute, I'd say. It's more like last couple of minutes. And in those minutes, I actually do the work. Building up to those minutes, I think really hard what to do. Like, I'm kind of freaking out, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. So okay. I get some ideas from that for what's due. And that's how I deal with that type of stress. And otherwise, I just look at the ultimate goal of where I need to be in life and base all my actions of what I'm doing right now, this moment, seeing how that can affect the output of where I'm going to end up. And I use that as a guideline to follow to keep me from going underneath the stress boat,
okay.
as you could say.
Mm-hmm. What role does music play? I know often I've had, you know, students say that music really helps them work through the stress. So as you think about, you know, how you handle it, can you share exactly what role music may play in coping with stress for you? I'll start with you, Tyler.
Yeah, music really does play a big role in it for me as well. Like, the only thing that detracts from that is the idea that having headphones on, someone might be calling for me or wanting to talk to me, and then they get even more upset when I'm not answering. So,
but that's them getting upset, not you.
And I get that sort of paranoid feeling from that. But aside from that, they're like, although music is a stress reliever for me, after a certain point, it starts to, I don't know, I get this sort of bad kind of feeling in my head. Like, it starts to, I guess, get a bit painful or something more like, I guess, physically than mentally or anything like that.
Is there a particular type of music that you find more soothing or more helpful than others, or is it just music in general?
Well, I like a wide variety of music, actually, and there are some types of music that I dislike and or disagree with, but I tend to like a wide variety of things.
Okay. All right. Stephen, what about music and what role does it play for you in coping with your, just your everyday stressors?
Well, if I'm getting ready to go somewhere or something where I don't really want to feel depressed and I kind of need more, like, strength, I kind of go with more upbeat songs.
Okay.
But with, like, all the songs, I don't like meaningless songs. Like, all of them, that all the ones I listen to have some type of underlining meaning. Like, and sometimes if I feel like I want to kind of get more through the stress, I kind of go for slower ones, more with a really deep meaning.
Okay. Too. You're nodding your head. You're in agreement, Peter.
Yeah. Music is amazing. It can toggle all sorts of moods that you have. There's something for everybody in music, and not only listening to it, but playing music and playing with music. There's lots of electronic things nowadays where you can make your own music, and that's what I find is fun for me, and it definitely relieves a lot of stress because I can just output my emotions through music, and it just, it's so much fun to do, and listening to lots of types of music. For me, I just have things stuck in my head all the time. I have to find what song that is. I get lots of inspiration from my parents and other people who show me different music, and it all just gets inside me and fills me with good energies that dissipate the stress.
Okay, that sounds great. I didn't get to hear from you, all of you, about the role of religion or spirituality and how that helps. I knew you talked about it, but how that really helps with the stress. So I wanted to hear from you to see if this, you know, other awareness helps at all in dealing with stress.
Well, I do go to God with my problems, but most of the time I end up just sort of feeling bad about things that I did or that I feel like I should meet him halfway. Like, I have to do the work. He's not going to do it for me, obviously. And things like that. Like, it's kind of hard to not procrastinate in some situations. I find myself doing something that I enjoy, and I get carried away. So,
okay,
there's that.
Peter?
I like to manage my time with thinking of higher levels of thinking, I guess, with just thinking what I'm going to do with myself and how I do that, how I connect to other things like that. It's hard to say. I just think of where I should be and how I'm going to get there, and it's all based on me for what I should do for myself, and everything I do forms what I do later.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, exercise is a real panacea for physical health and mental health. I mean, research indicates, you know, the individual who exercises handles stress, handles pressure, handles changes better. The individual who exercises physiologically is in better health. And I just want to know, do any of you utilize exercise in your coping strategies for dealing with stress? You're smiling. Folks can't see you, but I must have hit a good question. I'll start with you, Stephen.
Well, yeah, definitely me. Like, I have a pull-up bar in my kitchen, so pretty much every time I walk by it, I just do some pull-ups. And when I do, when I'm really stressful, I just hit, like, a bunch of them.
Okay.
Yeah, it, like, gets your mind off of it, and it really calms you down.
And work out some of that tightness that you
right.
were talking about earlier. Okay.
Right.
All right. What about you, Peter?
Well, what I do is, well, I used to, not so recently, though, because of SATs and everything have just come up, and I had to study for that and buy books and go to classes. I didn't have time to, I do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps. It gives me time to get in touch with my inner self and just understand more of what I need to be doing. And it lets me see everything from a different perspective. And it also helps me stretch and feel good physically.
Okay.
As for me, like, I don't often do, like, strenuous sorts of exercises. Like, recently I've been walking from school to my dad's, but that's the extent of that so far. My mom has a gym membership for UFIT, and we've gone there maybe once or twice, and I've enjoyed it when I did go, but recently we haven't so much.
Okay, all right. Well, long-term stress can motivate us to do better jobs. It can make us very resilient. So stress can energize us, reviving our systems to handle what we have to handle on the short term. So stress, although it may seem negative, it does have some positives about it, too. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and I have been talking with Peter Rinder, Tyler Hoffbauer, and Stephen Crothers. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. Welcome to the Ethicist's Corner. Panelists weigh in on the rights and wrongs of daily life. Today's ethicist question. You are at a business or a restaurant that offers certain items for free, like pens or sugar or napkins or whatever. Is it considered stealing if you take more than you need?
No.
Elaborate. Go on.
If they're offering free items, they have the ability to give you the free items. And, you know, if my breath is not that great, I don't think one mint will do the trick. So I don't see any harm in taking, you know, two mints, maybe three mints. But pens, you know, pens are pretty expensive. I could see how people might get mad at you for taking more than one pen, because pens don't break like pencils. You can.
How about, I was at a restaurant and I saw someone and they had candy. And like you said, one or two mints is not a big deal. This lady took the container and poured half of it into her purse.
Guilty.
Wow. Oh, you're guilty of doing that?
I like candy sometimes.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I've done that before.
Okay.
Well, I don't consider myself a thief.
Okay. Well, let me hear from the rest of you.
Okay. For me, I think, like, taking a large amount of that thing is fine, but as long as you're discreet about it. It's not like go around and dump the whole thing into your purse. No, I mean, like, take them out one by one like a normal person.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that response. What about you, Stephen?
Well, I think it's more about respect. Like, if I had, like, a jar of licorice or something, and I want to make it last for a bunch of people, I wouldn't want just one person to dump the whole thing in their bag, because then I have to buy more.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, but, like, you can, like, just take a little bit. Like, sometimes it's more for, like, one or two per person. Sometimes if, like, my friends are in, like, do you want any licorice? I'm like, no, can you get me one? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, mm-hmm. so I get his and I get one. So it's kind of, you know.
Okay. At what point, then, do you feel it's excessive? Or you have crossed the line. You know, one or two pieces, no. But maybe they never cross the line. But, for example, if you have pens, one, even two, but 10?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, that's what I'm wondering. Is there a point where one crosses the line? Or if it's out there for free?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually, during the summer, I worked at, Second Harvest for community service, and for part of that I was organizing their storage closet, and I looked around and I saw that they had many pens, many pens. They must have had at least 1,000, 10,000 pens. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's a lot of pens.
But yeah. It couldn't be contained by merely one box. So I figure if they've got that many pens, what's like 15, 20 pens even?
Okay. So what I hear you saying, it really just depends on the situation.
Depends.
Depends. That's right. Yes.
I believe it also depends why they're giving it. Like if you come and help out with something a lot, I believe that gives you more leg room where you could do it. Or like, if you just walk in a building, grab a bunch of stuff and leave, uh-huh. then, I don't know, it's really disrespectful.
Yeah, it depends if you want to look like a jerk or not, really. It's a matter of dignity.
Yeah.
But some situations.
So, again, we've come back to it really is dependent upon the situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You look like you want to say something, Tyler, in the last few seconds.
I was just looking at him giggling.
Oh, Evan.
Yeah. And I think, like, well, it's just, like, it makes you look bad if you do go in there, you rush into the store, grab a bunch of pens, stick them in your pocket, and then run off. But mm-hmm. it just makes you look a bit strange, like you're going to do something with those pens. I wonder what that's going to be.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's up to.
Yeah, a little suspicious.
But I think if you just sort of, I'm going to take these, and you have a reason for taking them, that's fine.
Okay, well, that's it for today's Ethicist Corner. Some people seek stress. They are what we call adrenaline seekers. Some people say they have been exposed to high levels of stress and may be trying to satisfy some of those psychological needs. This is Dr. Liz Holyfield, and we're talking about stress. Joining me here again at the roundtable, I welcome Stephen Crothers, Tyler Hofbauer, Peter Render, all students at Sale High School, all seniors. So you all should know something about stress.
Definitely.
Okay? Let's kind of talk about the types of stress that you are dealing with. Being graduating seniors, I mean, we tend to, and we were talking about this, you know, before we came on the air, we tend to think, oh, you're students, it's easy. But one student I had several years ago told me, you need to always do a program on graduating seniors and the stress that is associated with it. And I guess right now, can you share the kinds of stress that you all are experiencing? You guys, like, what are you going to do? Where are you going? What's happening? Okay, so let me start with whomever. Start with you, Tyler. As a graduating senior, what level of stress are you experiencing? What brings stress to your life?
Well, it's more about what I don't know than what I know about being a senior. Like, I don't know necessarily all the dates. I know we got, like, a paper on it a few days ago, but I can't remember where I put that. And, like, there's a lot of deadlines and those sorts of things, and I don't deal well with those as I'm, as I've said before, like a procrastinator a bit. And I often forget things like dates and stuff like that, so.
All right.
Definitely scholarships. I believe, like, the senior year is the time where you have to go for scholarships. If you want to have any education past high school, scholarships are the biggest thing. And continuously, they've been raising the bar on SAT scores and ACT scores, and it just makes it harder on us when years ago the scores were a lot lower. But now it's a lot harder.
So what I hear is, like, there really is a lot of pressure.
Right.
Not to mention, like, the scholarships no longer, for the most part, cover the majority of, or all of, at least, college. Like, you still have to pay for certain parts. And I think a big part of the reason it's so high in America now is because nobody's made any big deal about it. Like, it's just gone on and on. And I remember hearing a story on NPR, I believe, about Britain or London or somewhere in Europe. And the price for college there is around, I believe, $2,000. And they were going to raise it. And a bunch of people got together and they raised heck and they protested and all that. And it stayed the same.
So maybe students need to take note. Do you think that would make that much difference here in the States?
Only if a lot of people would do it. If only, like, five people, I don't think they're going to change it. But everyone actually has to try and do something.
You need that collective bargaining. Okay.
Yeah, and that's another thing, like, with online, a bunch of people usually say on the internet that we should get together and do this or support this or all that. And all they're doing is they're saying it. They're not doing anything. They're just posting something or pressing like or whatever and just trying to improve people's opinions of them instead of actually going out and making a difference with a worthwhile idea. They are stuck in front of a computer screen.
And that's a program all of itself, just talking about the role of computer and how it's changed how we communicate and how we interact. I know the other day I was in, I don't know, it was a Starbucks or someplace, and there was a, I guess they were a couple, I don't know. They were at the table together, but she was doing her thing and he was doing his. And I tell you, unless they were talking back and forth through their phones, there was almost no communication that one could identify, put it that way. So I guess that's the norm.
That's today's world.
That's today's world.
Yep.
Okay. What kind of pressure do you feel, Peter, being in school?
Well, let's see. There's expectations for the most part.
Okay.
What are you going to do after high school? Everybody asks you that, and I have to ask myself that a lot of the time because it's hard to decide. There's, I can't really pick something like out of a bag and say, oh, I want to be that. But there's room for decision, but you've got to act quick in your senior year, especially. You have to pick your classes you want to take, and you have to see where those classes, like what that's going to get you in college, like what colleges are looking for. So you have to take classes according to that. And you have to do everything to get into a good college, so everyone says. If you don't go to college, I don't know what will happen to you, but good things happen to some people. You don't really hear about that unless you look for it. And they try and make it seem that it's bad if you don't go to college, so it's good to go to college. So you want to get into a good college so you can do well.
And I second everything you said.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Third.
I guess the only thing I would say is that, you know, college isn't for everyone. And you shouldn't feel the pressure. I mean, college is good. But, you know, you might have a specific field that you want to pursue. So that's all I say. You know, I mean, there are other avenues in higher education that one may take. So, and I know it's a very pressured, high-pressured period, you know, that senior year. I was just as guilty when we were sitting out in the lobby. What I asked, well, what are you all going to do since you're graduating senior coming up? What about peer pressure? We've talked about pressure coming from school, from parents, but what about the pressure that comes from your peers? Is that stressful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe with peers, it kind of goes deeper than everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that really goes into depression. Like, and the older I get, the more I know that a lot of people do lie. And I believe that nothing good comes out of a lie. There's a difference between having a filter, not saying absolutely everything that comes to your head, and lying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe there's like a middle point. Like, you don't want to hurt their feelings, but even if you lie to do something to help, they're going to find out, and then that hurts more.
Mm-hmm.
It puts a fake feeling that everything's okay when really someone might be hating you and you don't know it. And you'll find out eventually, and it'll hurt more.
What do you suggest people do when they're in those kinds of situations?
Like, when they're the ones?
Well, you know, someone asked you a question. And do you like my dress? Do you like, and really you think it's awful, okay? But what do you say? That's a good ethicist question. We're talking about ethicists. But, I mean, you know, how do you handle it? What do you say?
I don't think you should say right out, oh, that's a horrible dress. You shouldn't go and just throw on something else. But I believe you if they're truly asking they're truly asking what you think. If you say, yeah, it's great, and they go and then people make fun of them, that's on you, not them.
Mm.
Like, you need to say, you look great in that dress, but I really think people may make fun of you with that.
Okay. So it's that it sounds like what you're advocating is that you can really tell the truth. It's kind of how you say it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Even to me, I think, personally, I think beauty is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably, no matter what you wear, a number of people who are going to laugh at you anyways. And there's also a number of people who are going to find what you're wearing perfectly normal or wonderful even. Like, the best you can give somebody is your opinion. They can't go and expect everyone to share that opinion. Mm-hmm. But I guess it just goes however your sense of style is compared to the majority of the people they run into.
Okay. Well, what role does peer pressure play with you, Peter?
It's a big part, especially at Sale, as mm-hmm. you might think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my peers that are in my grade level, I can see them. They're not taking the exact same path I'm taking. All my classes are very rigorous, and Sale provides that for you. And there's the classes that, you know, like PE and easy things to get you by your senior year. So you could just, as you could say, it's a breeze. It's easy mm-hmm. for your students. And, I definitely noticed some of my friends take that path. And it's before my senior year, I'd have time to spend with more of my friends. But now that I realize how important education is, I have to sacrifice spending time with a lot of people. And it's hard because, you know, you have feelings, you want to hang out with your friends, and mm-hmm. you just got to put education first, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult.
And it's difficult. It's not very, that easy.
Yeah, so much stress there.
As we look at education, do you think the school has any responsibility and helping you to cope with stress? Should there be some kind of class or some type of instruction? Because stress is something that we all deal with.
Well, most schools have guidance counselors, and Sale has a very nice guidance counselor, mm-hmm. and he's just amazing. If you need any help whatsoever, you can just go to him, and he'll tell you exactly what you need to do.
Shout out to the guidance counselor.
Exactly.
At Sale.
Lon, he's awesome.
Okay.
They don't really advertise it as much. They don't say, if you need help, go. They do, actually, but not like if you're stressed out, if you have problems getting to school, go see Lon. Okay. They don't say that, but he's definitely there, and he can help you. So if you just ask the right people for help, they'll direct you to the right people you need. And I think Sale provides that. I don't know about most other schools, though.
Mm-hmm. But you can speak for Sale. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. You all agree?
I personally don't believe, for me, peer pressure plays too much of a role as far as my friends go, at least. Mm-hmm. Like, normally, when we talk about pretty much trivial things, mm-hmm. and we joke around.
So it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
they
cool.
don't really try to pressure me. I don't really try to pressure them.
Okay.
But I think, I guess, as far as the world goes, like, or the people around you go, there is peer pressure affecting mm-hmm. you.
Indeed.
Like, for instance, when you're at a party for a friend of yours and you don't know any of their other friends that they've invited to the party. And for me, what happens is I end up trying to sort of fit in some sort of way, like sit properly mm-hmm. or stand.
And I can tie into all that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to close, though,
all right.
Because we are out of time. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available. And if you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org.